Book 2, Chapter 2 is really full of stimulating and inventive ideas. The title refers to money, but I would really say this is a chapter about banking. The exact chapter title is a bit of a mouthful. Of money considered as a particular branch of the general stock of the society, or of the expense of maintaining the national capital. As I said, I read this as a chapter about banking. Smith's critical insight is that banks, and what we today would call financial intermediation, that they create more circulating capital. And if you refer back to the previous chapter and our previous video, we saw that circulating capital was a kind of liquid funds that would be used to buy and sell goods or to advance money to workers while they were finishing a process of production. So for Smith, banks were important for at least three reasons. The first is that from a given stock of wealth, they create more liquid funds to support business investment, and this will encourage economic growth. The second point Smith makes is that by economizing on liquidity in this fashion, that banks also enable more capital to be converted into the form of fixed capital. And if you refer back to the previous chapter, the previous video, what Smith means by fixed capital are things like equipment and machinery. And in essence, the bank, by creating liquidity on its own, is ensuring that the business doesn't have to keep all of its resources in liquid form, but can make some of these illiquid committing investments, which will also raise productivity. This is really a striking point, a striking insight. It's actually not commonly understood in economic models until well into the 20th century, but it's stated and understood quite clearly by Smith. Smith also makes the more traditional point that by having banking and a kind of fractional reserve banking, that this enables an economy to economize on the use of gold and silver. The bottom line here is that Smith has a highly original and first-rate theory of banks, financial intermediation, and why all that is important. There's then a lengthy discussion of financial intermediation in Scotland and how Scottish banks are relatively efficient at giving out credit, lending to businesses, and also creating liquidity. In this discussion, Smith shows an impressive knowledge of institutional detail, of course about his native Scotland, but also about England as well. You can take this quotation as one of Smith's bottom lines on banking, and I quote, "The judicious operations of banking enable him to convert this dead stock into active and productive stock, into materials to work upon, into tools to work with, and into provisions and subsistence to work for, into stock which produces something both to himself and to his country." In a striking and vivid metaphor, Smith also refers to banks as creating a sort of wagonway through the air. The latter part of this chapter covers the issue of small notes, which was a burning issue in Smith's own time, though it ceased to be a major controversy in modern economics. Smith considers the question, should banks be allowed to issue banknotes for relatively small denominations? And Smith here thought that the relevant cutoff was £5 notes, that above £5, it would be fine if banks issued notes, because for notes of such a high value, people passing the notes would have an incentive to check that the notes really would be worth what the bank promised. For smaller notes, Smith wondered whether people passing the notes along had a strong enough incentive to actually check whether the bank could make good on the promised value of the note. If you think of monitoring the quality of the bank and its backing and its capital and its reserves as involving a kind of fixed cost, well, it makes sense to think that people might do this monitoring for, say, a £100 note, but they would not do it for a £1 note. So Smith here, for the smaller notes, he wanted to see a use of coins by law, and the point here was to prevent banks from defrauding people passing their notes. Smith is quite clear that this legal restriction would in fact be a violation of a system of natural liberty, but he thought that such violations of liberty were justified when they in some way contributed to the security of the public. So at the end of this chapter, Smith lays out his recipe for banking. He thinks that restrictions on small notes are very important to keep stability of the monetary system and to limit fraud, but that banks should, in other regards, generally be left unregulated by government. The bottom line here is that Smith thought that noteholders had only an imperfect ability and incentive to monitor the solvency of banks, and in this regard, he was not for strict free banking. The reason, of course, why this problem no longer exists today is that paper notes of banks are not backed by gold, and in any case, the liabilities of banks are guaranteed by governments. But back in the 18th century, in Smith's time in Scotland, this was a critical policy issue when it comes to money and banking.